We're now going to have the Bible reading, which comes from Luke chapter 13, verses 22 to 30.
Then Jesus went through the towns and villages, teaching as he made his way to Jerusalem. Someone asked him, "Lord, are only a few people going to be saved?" He said to them, "Make every effort to enter through the narrow door, because many, I tell you, will try to enter and will not be able to. Once the owner of the house gets up and closes the door, you will stand outside knocking and pleading, 'Sir, open the door for us.' But he will answer, 'I don't know you or where you come from.' Then you will say, 'We ate and drank with you, and you taught in our streets.' But he will reply, 'I don't know you or where you come from. Away from me, all you evildoers. Doers. There will be weeping there and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, but you yourself thrown out. People will come from east and west and north and south, and will take their places at the feast in the kingdom of God. Indeed, there are those who are last who will be first, and first who will be last."
Let's pray before we get into God's word. Father God, we pray that your Spirit would speak into our lives. Lord, we pray that you would open our eyes, that you would give us eyes to see and ears to hear the good news of Jesus. Help us to see the areas in our lives that we've been holding back from you, the ways in which we've been trying to please you in our own strength. Lord, open our eyes so that we can hear your word this morning, that it might work in our hearts, and that we might go enter through the narrow door. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As I was preparing for this morning's message, I was reflecting on why people who go to church each Sunday need to believe, hear, and understand the words that Jesus is giving in these verses. And the first thing that went through my mind is it seems as though I would be preaching to the choir by preaching these verses. Back when I began telling people that God was calling me to go to Bible college, I had quite a few phone calls to make to all sorts of different people that had been a big part of my life. Many of those who knew me before I went to go to Bible college, well, they really struggled with the radical change in my life. And this was particularly true of my non-Christian friends. Many thought that I was crazy to walk away from a thriving business and a great lifestyle to serve the Lord. But one of the responses that I received from a good friend sticks with me even to this day. I called this person on the phone because he didn't live nearby, and as I was telling him that I felt that God was calling me to go to Bible college, he really began to struggle with what I was saying. He couldn't understand why I would want to go away from the lifestyle that I'd always dreamed of, to become a pastor, and to, in his words, preach to the choir. To him, it appeared as though a pastor was someone who only ever preached to the converted, as the same people sat in the same pews each week and heard roughly the same message to repent and believe every Sunday. And in some ways, that is kind of what a pastor does, as we open up the word each week. Pastors do preach generally to the same people week in and week out, praying that God's word would have a radical impact in their lives. And because of this, to this friend of mine, preaching in a church seemed like a waste of time, because he believed that those who go to church each Sunday were already in. They were already saved as far as he was concerned. But this idea that those who go to church each Sunday are already in, that they're already saved, is not what the Bible teaches. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 to 23, Jesus warns us with these words. Matthew 7. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Towards the end of my time at Bible College, I remember vividly sitting in a huge auditorium with friends who I had grown to respect, friends who had left their livelihoods, their friends and their families, some of whom had left their home countries to come and learn about God's word. And as I sat in that auditorium, the lecturer told us to look around at all the people who were sitting there with us that day. And then he warned us that not everyone who was sitting with us that day would go on to serve the Lord. Then he said something that was even more shocking. He said that there would be some who were sitting amongst us who would not last in ministry, and some who would not even continue in their walk with the Lord. As he said those words, I did look around, and I looked around at all those people that I admired and respected, and I wished that he would be proved wrong. Sadly, as time has gone on, there have been many since then who have disqualified themselves from serving in gospel ministry, and some who have walked away from their faith in the Lord altogether. In every congregation, in every church, including our congregation, there will be some who will hear on the day of the Lord, as they cry out, Lord, Lord, they will hear Jesus say, I never knew. And for this reason, we all need to pay attention to the warning that Jesus is giving in these verses, so that we make every effort to enter through the narrow door. As this morning's passage begins, Jesus has been preaching the good news of the kingdom of God throughout the towns and villages as he heads towards Jerusalem. And as Jesus continues on his journey, someone in the crowd called out to Jesus, Lord, are only a few going to be saved? Now, it's important for us to understand that this person wasn't asking if they were saved or how someone might be saved, but how many of the Jews would be saved. And the reason for this was that the expected answer to the question was that all the Jews, all of Israel, would be saved. After all, they were the descendants of Abraham. The Jews believed that they were born into the kingdom of God, that it was their birthright. They believed that the whole nation of Israel would be saved, while all of the Gentiles, that's anyone who isn't a Jew, would be turned away and would face God's judgment. But because Jesus knew the heart of this person, and because he knew that this person and probably many others in the crowd were assuming their salvation, Jesus ignores this question and instead gives this stern warning. He says, make every effort to enter through the narrow door. In Matthew chapter 7, Jesus speaks about this narrow door in a slightly different terms. He calls it the narrow gate. Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14, Jesus says, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter it. But small is the gate, and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Jesus is using this language of narrow versus wide to describe the ways in which people approach God. The wide gate attracts people trying to approach God through their religion, through their good works, and through their spirituality or piety. People trying to enter the wide gate are trying to find peace with God on their own terms. But the narrow gate is the only way, the one and only way, to find peace with God. Because the narrow gate, or narrow door, as it's described here in Luke 13, symbolizes the path to God that is found through faith in Jesus. As Jesus says in John chapter 14, verse 16, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus is the narrow door, and only those who come to the Father through him will be saved. Jesus is effectively saying to this person who asked this question, don't worry about how many other people are going to be saved until you are sure that you have entered through the narrow door yourself. Jesus says, make every effort. Now, in these familiar verses, because I've read them many, many times, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, we're told that it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. We are saved by grace through faith. Because no matter how hard we try, we cannot earn favor with God. We simply cannot free ourselves from the guilt of our sin. But if it isn't about our effort or our work that makes us right with God, if that isn't what sets us free, what is Jesus saying here when he says, make every effort? Well, what Jesus is saying is, don't take your salvation for granted. To the people in the crowd, Jesus is saying, don't assume that you are saved just because you're a descendant of Abraham. To those of us here this morning, Jesus is saying, don't assume your salvation because your parents were Christian, or because of how many years you've been going to church each Sunday, or because you were baptized. Because finding confidence in those things is taking the wide road that leads to destruction. While making every effort to enter through the narrow door is the exact opposite of trying to earn favor with God through our good works. Make every effort to enter through the narrow door requires us to recognize our need for God's mercy every minute of every day. It requires us to hand our sins and our burdens over to Jesus, who has already paid for them on the cross, and to acknowledge that we cannot be made right with God apart from the saving work of Christ. And even our faith in him is a gift of God. The narrow door, this one way to God, which is through the Son, this door will not be open forever. Jesus says in verses 25 to 27, once the owner of the house gets up and closes the door, you will stand outside knocking and pleading, sir, open the door for us. But he will answer, I don't know you or where you come from. Then you will say, we ate and drank with you, and you taught in our streets. But he will reply, I don't know you or where you come from. Away from me, all you evildoers. While ever Christ has not returned, and while ever we still have breath in our lungs, the door, the narrow door, is still open. There is still hope of entering into salvation through Christ Jesus. God is a merciful God. But because God is also just, there will be a time when that door needs to be closed so that sin can be punished, so that wrong can be made right. When the door of salvation through Jesus is finally closed, there will only be mourning and sadness for everyone who thought their way of getting to God was good enough. No matter how sincerely they believed that they were on the right path. In these verses, the people who have been turned away replied, "We ate and drank with you and you taught in our streets." These people were acquaintances of Jesus. They knew of him and they knew roughly what he was all about. But they did not know Jesus. They had not entered through the narrow door while it was open. And now that it was closed, there was no hope of ever having a relationship with the owner of the house. There was no hope of ever coming into salvation through Jesus. And they heard the terrifying words, "I don't know you or where you come from. Away from me, all you evildoers." Many will say, "Lord, Lord, we attended church every Sunday. We were baptized. We were members of our local church for years and years and years." We will sadly hear Jesus say, "Away from me, you evildoers." Because they have not believed and trusted in God's one and only Son. Many will not have made every effort to enter through the narrow door. And on the day that that door is shut and Christ returns, those who are left outside will mourn the salvation that they assumed they already had. But while those who assume their salvation will be turned away when the door is shut, verse 29 tells us that people will come from the east and the west and the north and the south and will take their place at the feast in the kingdom of God. This is speaking of the Gentiles, all those who aren't Jews, entering through the narrow door. This is speaking of people from every tribe, nation, and language being united through Christ, through his life, death, and resurrection. Because they had made every effort to seek God's mercy through Jesus, finding hope in him before it was too late. And so in verse 30, Jesus concludes saying, "Indeed, there are those who are last who will be first, and first who will be last." Sadly, many who were first to hear the good news of Jesus and have the opportunity to enter into the narrow door and come into the kingdom of God will be among those who are last. That is, those who are left outside, those who experience mourning and weeping and gnashing of teeth when the door is closed. While many of those who were once outside of God's covenant, Gentiles by birth, those who seemed furthest away from the kingdom of God have entered through the narrow door and come into relationship with God through faith in Jesus. And so this morning, we are being warned to make every effort to enter through the narrow door. We are being warned not to take our salvation for granted. Many of those who were in the crowd that day believed that they were saved because they were descendants of Abraham. They had assumed their salvation. They believed salvation was their right. And they believed God owed them somehow. But so that they might have another opportunity to hear and repent, to turn and go through the narrow door before it is shut, Jesus gave them this warning. Make every effort to enter through the narrow door. This morning, there are many of us whose confidence of salvation is in a prayer that we said once when we were younger, or how long we've been going to church, or that we've been baptized or confirmed, or that we've served in the church for many years. And so this morning's passage is speaking to us as well. There may be those of us who have left the path of to the narrow door and have strayed onto the wide path. There may be some amongst us who aren't sure they've ever followed the path to God through Christ Jesus. If you don't know the Lord Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if you aren't living a life of ongoing repentance, forgiving as you have been forgiven, and loving as you have been loved, and showing the fruit of the Spirit in your life, then this passage is speaking to you this morning. There is only one way to enter into God's kingdom, and that is through Jesus. He is the one way. He is the truth and the life, and nobody goes to the Father except through him. This morning, may we pay close attention to the warning that Jesus is giving in these verses. May we make every effort to enter through the narrow door. May the Holy Spirit soften our hearts, give us ears to hear and eyes to see. May the Holy Spirit show us where we are trusting in our own strength and our own good works, and help us to hand all of that over to Christ. And may we enter through the narrow door that leads to eternal life through the completed work of Christ. May we do this through Jesus. Let's pray. Father God, we confess that there are times when we have all wanted to trust in our own good works. Lord, we all recognize there are times when we've wanted to pat ourselves on the back for a job well done, times when we've wanted to take the glory that God deserves, times when we've felt as though we've done such a good job that God owes us something. Lord, we pray this morning that we would come to Christ Jesus with nothing in our hands, that we would put aside our greatest works, recognizing that they are mere rags compared to the glory and perfection of Christ. And may we sit in your presence, Lord, knowing that we have entered your presence through the narrow door, through the blood of Christ poured out for us on the cross, so that our sins could be paid for, so that we could be forgiven. And Lord, help us to love as you have loved us, to forgive as you have forgiven us. Help us to display the fruit of the Spirit in our lives so that others might see the mercy we have received and want it for themselves. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.